أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. طه، ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى. تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى. الرحمن على العرش استوى. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى. وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم السر وأخفى. الله لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى. وهل أتاك حديث موسى إذ رأى نارا فقال لأهلهم امكثوا إني آنست نارا لعلي آتيكم منها بقبس أو أجد على النار هدى. فلما آتاها نودي يا موسى إني أنا ربك فاخلع عليك إنك بالوادي المقدس طوى. وأنا اخترتك فاستمع لما يوحى. إنني أنا الله لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدني وأقم الصلاة لذكري. إن الساعة آتية أكاد أخفيها لتجزى كل نفس بما تسعى. فلا يصدنك عنها من لا يؤمن بها واتبع هواه فتردى.
سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والتابعين اليومين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقده من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم ارزقنا علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء. ونعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعاء لا يستجاب له. امين امين يا رب العالمين. اللهم بارك لنا في هذا العلم. اللهم انزل بارك العلم ونور العلم وحكمة العلم وبهاء العلم ونور العلم ورحمة العلم وبركة العلم والعمل بما نعلم. آمين آمين يا رب العالمين. سي آمين.
آمين.
Yesterday we said we have to start with intention. You cannot start anything in Islam without setting intention. I have to set my intention. You have to set your intention. According to our intention, Allah will give us. According to our intention, Allah will give us. And according to our sincerity and our intention, Allah will give us. By this way, I have to set my intention, and you have to set your intention. And remember, especially in Quran and the knowledge of Allah, before you touch Quran, before you read Quran or any book, what you do? You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the light of knowledge, the nur, the hikmah of knowledge with wisdom, the basira of knowledge with vision, and the rahmat of knowledge, mercy, and the blessing of knowledge, barakat. And most of all also to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the comprehending, the fact, and give you also the tawfiq and the ability to live according to this knowledge and allow you to spread the knowledge. By this way, according to the way we sit and our intention, Allah will give us. And this take it at any given time. Now before we start today, I always like to do something. Who can tell me what is the main message yesterday? What is the main message yesterday?
Allah is one.
Any other message? What coming in your heart? If you do not keep talking, I will get you stand one by one and you have to tell me what you gained yesterday. Because unless we gain something in our heart, don't repeat what I say. I do not ask you to repeat what I say. Because homework will let you do for homework, but your heart is empty. But I prefer you do your homework, you struggle, you try to perceive by your heart, and you're coming to me with certain question and concern. Now I know you gain. Or once in a while, I will voluntarily, all of a sudden, I go to you and tell you what you gain. And I will know if you are sitting for mommy, sitting for daddy, or sitting for Allah. If you're sitting for Allah, you will say something. If you're not sitting for Allah, you cannot say. And you will say, huh? And once I hear, I know exactly what's going on. You're not sitting here. You're sitting physically, but not emotionally, not with your heart. Because if you sit with your heart, believe me, you can click one sentence, one word. I do not care about how much you will rise, how much you gain, is how much you really receive in your heart. This is what I'm interested about. And all of you young men, hopefully, inshallah, please do not come under pressure of mommy. You want to go play basketball? Go play basketball. You want to play in your nose? Play in your nose. You want to play in your toes? Play in your toes. But in here, you have to really desire to sit. If you're not desiring to sit, and you want to sit with your heart, it's no benefit. It's no benefit. In other words, we can sit in here for 100 years, and every day tell you what you gain, huh? Because you're not here. Very important. This is the reality of the Ummah. I wish the cameraman coming and take a look in here. I have 3-4 young boys and all this female. Where is our men? Where is our men, the one supposed to be the teacher of our woman? If the men supposed to be the teacher of our woman, they do not have it. And they're supposed to be the role model of their own woman. And when a woman, or when a small young girl get married, supposed to be the sponge and the follower of her husband. Wonder what happens if the husband is my man. What she can receive. He destroyed her spirit, he destroyed her heart, and she looked at him as empty. And before you know it, she becomes so confused. Unless she's so strong to the point she said, with you or without you, I'll keep going. But how many women like that? Maybe one every 200 million. But the majority, they go down, and before you know it, it's finished. Make dua for yourself, it's ummah. Because it's a calamity in the ummah. Now, anybody else, what you gained yesterday? Even Ahkam and Madani Quran don't give it to people collective. people given to people individual according to their level. Because the reality of the Ummah will not be. This one, even I do not like to go into fiqh in a gathering. Why? Everybody coming from background, everybody coming with different understanding. One sentence I can say, some people will like it, some people will hate it, some people will be against it. And it has nothing to do with the sentence, it's to do with our background and how we can perceive it. This why we're not ready. Because if we're ready and we have the real basic understanding, the rest is easy. Okay, inshallah? Okay, you was wanted to tell me something. Allah iftah alayki. You know what she said? She said, now I can understand this Quran completely by only one key. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Something I forget to tell you. Believe me, this verse, you have a problem. The whole earth against you, this verse is enough for you. All you have to do, go to Salah, recite Surah Al-Fatiha, and once you come into Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in, don't continue. Don't continue Surah Al-Fatiha. Just continue Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Even for an hour, half an hour, 2 hours, and keep crying to Allah, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. But read it and recite it with completely your heart. Do the hour? No. Recite it with your heart. I saw some of you today pray again so fast. So fast. It's wrong. You cannot really make salah unless you have calmness, khushu'a and khudu'a. You have to give every state of your salah its own time, its own respect. Don't go up and down like a youth. Don't do that, it's very dangerous. By this way, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ وَاللَّهِ is enough. You have a shaykh, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You have shaytan, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Somebody did something against you, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. I never forget this situation when a man, a very inshallah pious man, somebody oppressed him so much and he took him to court. And in the court, the bad man who oppressed him, he really has the money and wealth and, you know, and all kind of power. And he really oppressed him and he had a court case against him completely. In the court, you know what the pious man did him? He said to him something so beautiful. You know what he said? He said, please don't do this to me. Don't make me anger over you. Please, don't make me anger. Don't oppress me. Please, don't do it. And the man was so arrogant. I never forget that. I was young. Because this man, his son was a friend of mine. Do you know what happened? The judge gave favor to the oppressor. The oppressed one, which is a pious man, he was leaving the court. And you know all the court, even in Muslim country like this court. You know, you have all these lonely steps going down. And this man, he recites Surah Al-Fatiha with Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in like this, with his finger. And he waved to the man. The man was standing next to him. He waved to him like this, and he recited one only verse from Surah Yaseen. After that, and all of a sudden, in the street, and all of us, all the way up in the court, a two-car collision. And one car tried to get away from the collision. It ran over the steps, so hard, all the way up, hit the man, killed him all of a sudden. It didn't take even a half a minute after the dua. You see the power of the Muslim? Where is that today? But imagine what qualities a man has when he was reciting Quran. Is he fearing the judge? Is he fearing the system? Is he fearing the oppressor? No! He was fearing for the man. He told him, don't oppress me. Yeah. Mashallah, you have to learn, convey, and, no, you have to learn, live it, and convey. But But you understand this point? You see the power of Quran? You see the power of Quran? I have people, all the people in my country and my family, they used to get healing from Quran and they never take medication. But today we cannot do that. Because before we know it, once we see Bibi has a problem, take him to the doctor, put him in the hospital. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, cure your sick with four. Cure your sick people with four. Anybody know the four? You will not believe the first one. Cure your sick with four. Number one, tawbah. To make tawbah and istighfar. And make two rak'ah tawbah and istighfar to Allah. Number two, charity. You take some money of your own money, give it to charity to poor people, poor needy, to feed them and make dua for you. At this moment, the mercy of Allah coming in you. And this is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Daw maradakum bil sadaqat. Cure your sick people with charity. And number three, seek the asbab. Meaning, see the reasoning. Meaning, I can go to the doctor or whatever. But number four, with the intention and faith and the belief, Allah is the doer. Not the doctor, not the medication. The medication and the doctor is a cause. And most of all, the owner of asbab, which is dua. Dua. And dua is very powerful, especially after charity. Now, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will try to go through many things today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in our time. Because barakah is unbelievable. Barakah has no limit, has no holding. Now, we talk about the importance of Quran. And there's many ahadith, you can read it in Riyadh al-Salihin and many other books about the importance of reciting Quran and reading Quran. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Imam Bukhari, خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلم. The best one among you, the one who learn Quran and teach it. Not read it, don't translate it as reading, no. تعلم, learn it. And in the Hadith Qudsi, very beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, من شغله ذكري وقرآني عن مسألتي أعطيته خير مرتاء السائلين. If you be busy with my remembering and my Quran, I give you better than what I give to the people who seek dua. Meaning, if I forget myself, if I forget my need, and I worry about the remembering of Allah and reciting Quran and do good deed, Allah promised He will give me better than if I sit and keep calling Allah. Do you understand this dua? It's a very powerful dua. People do not understand it. If I sit down worry about my dua is much higher, or if I sit down remembering Allah, seeking Allah, making dua to Allah with, for the ummah, or reciting Quran, or learning and teaching the second one. If I really be engaged for Allah, Allah promised to fulfill my need. He promised. I do not have to even ask him. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِحَالِي غَنِيٌ عَنْ سُؤَالِي. He knows what I need. He doesn't need even my dua. Doesn't mean we do not do dua, but not to the point I will be busy with dua and forget the owner of dua. Like Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, in Ihya' al-Muddin, he said, what is the calamity? What is the trial? What is the examination? What's the purpose behind it? The purpose behind it is to check you out. Are you going to go to work Allah, or you forget Allah and be busy with the problem? The main concept of any problem, because in Islam really is no such word problem. There's no such. Calamity, tribulation, trial, examination, a test. But word problem does not exist in Islamic terminology. We generate problems. Shayateen generate problems. You know? But there's no such a problem. By this way, if I am honest and be busy with Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will care about my need. And also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, nobody gets closer to Allah better than what coming from Allah. مَا تَقَرَّبَ الْعَبَادَ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِذِلْدِ مَا خَرَجَ مِنْهِ. You will never get closer to Allah more than what coming from Allah, which is Quran. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَهْلُ الْقُرْآنُ هُمَ أَهْلُ اللَّهِ وَخَصَّتُهُ. The people of Quran is a precious chosen people, okay, for Allah. But again, we have to go. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said the people of Quran, not like today. The people of Quran, the people who learn Quran, live in Quran, who do da'wah to Allah, set the example, this is the Ahlul Quran. This is the people who own Quran. Now do, and that's it. No. And Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهُ يَرْفَعْ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابَ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضَعْ بِهِ آخَرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He elevated with this book nation and disgrace with it nation. What I said yesterday, you remember? Allah elevated with this book nations and disgrace with it nation. You take this book and you live it, Allah give you dignity and elevate you. You do not value this book and leave it, you go down. Is this understood? By this way, according to how much you give dignity to Quran, what does it mean dignity to Quran? Meaning I read it, live it, comprehend it, respect it. How do you respect it? Don't ever read Quran and learn Quran and living with a bad example, or have bad manner, or envy, or jealousy, or hate, or having, you know, bad character. We'll talk about that very soon. Okay? Because you're supposed to be Quran as a purification. Purification of the soul, purification of the manner, purification of the body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He promised, I am revealing Quran, and I am the one who protecting Quran. And one of the early scholars, he said, if you look to the early people, again, they used to cure everything in their life by Quran. Quran is not a constitution. Constitution, remedy, medication, purification, fixing all the problem. One person who was wanting to pray at night and he cannot pray. He went to a pious person and asked him what they do. He said, when you go to the bed, you recite the last five verses of Surah Al-Kahf. And when you come to say, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي, keep your recite over and over again until you go to sleep. And before you do that, ask Allah what time you want to go to get up, Allah will make you get up. But I will tell you something honest to Allah. Honest to Allah, Allah. I'm not a good person. 2 years ago, I used to get up, I used to do a lot of ibadah, and all of a sudden it went down. And by the will of Allah, I went to Umrah. I keep following all what I'm learning. And before you know it, I used to have 3 alarms, and I cannot get up. 3 alarms is almost like something happened. I cannot get up. With 3 alarms, I cannot get up. And I start using Quran and crying to Allah and ask Allah to give me. Before you know it, before any alarm hearing, I'm already awake. I do not need any alarm. And I went like that for some time. And I was very honest. All what I'm saying, it worked in one condition, according to your sincerity. Wonder what happened if I commit sins and my iman go down. I can recite, I can make dua, but it will not happen. By this way, if I'm reciting and making dua and it's not happening, something wrong not with the Quran, something wrong with me. By this way, I need to purify myself, cry more, knock on the door of Allah more, until I get it back. Can we be Mr. Engine and Mrs. Engine and we have a complete istiqamah? It's very difficult. But I will tell you something honest to Allah. All of us go up and down. But when you go down, don't leave yourself down. Run away back to Allah and try. And when you go up, don't be arrogant. Don't be arrogant. Because even worshipping Allah, it can cause arrogance. And it makes you feel, mashallah, I'm doing it and others do not do it. And before you know it, you're going down. Be careful. Don't lift finger and say, I'm better than so and so. Don't ever do that. You're going down. Because Allah hates it most. We do not know who's up, who's down. Only Allah knows who's among this room is up and down. Nobody knows. By this way, don't ever, even in your heart, feel I'm better than so and so, I'm following what you do not follow, I'm doing this you do not do, don't ever do that. Actually, one of the early Imam who said, Allah can try you with more worship to lead you to hellfire. With more worship, you go to hellfire. Because he said, if you go to the status of worship and you like what you're doing and you believe you're good, meaning you're a believer. Meaning you're liking yourself. And if you like rush, it destroys all your good deed and Allah takes you to hellfire. This is why when Iskara said, رُبَّ مَعْصِيَ أَدَّتْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَرُبَّ عِبَادَ أَدَّتْ إِلَى الْجَهَنَّةِ. Maybe a sin will lead you to paradise and maybe a good deed lead you to hellfire. And he asked the scholar, you make it wrong. He said, no. He said, maybe you could be the sins. It make you feel so guilty, so poor to Allah. It make your nafs so down. It make you so humble. It lead you to Allah. Allah give you mercy. And maybe you get a lot of good deed to the point you become arrogant and you liken yourself. And before you know it, Allah hit you most and lead you to hellfire. Because don't forget, Allah is a ruler. Allah forgive whom He wants. He reward whom He wants. We cannot ask Allah who is better, who is not. Allah only knows. By this way, please, don't ever liken yourself. Don't ever liken your worship. We are in big trouble. Take it from me, please don't. Don't ever liken who you are. Always believe I'm the worst man on earth. I'm the worst woman on earth. But mean it. Really mean it. I learn a lot. I learn a lot about others. I met this woman. If you see her on the street, you said she's prostitute. Really, the way she dressed. She's half naked. Every day, she makes muhajj. Every day, she recites what she said before she goes to sleep. Every day, she do a lot of things. And anybody need anything, she's like a rocket. She do good deed like a rocket. No money, no anything, it is equivalent in her. She acting more than 100 men. And I look at her, and I said, subhanAllah. Oh, Allah, what's going on? I look at her in the street. She's half naked. I look at her. She's doing that. I said, Allah, what's going on? Who gives that quality? Allah. Who snatches that quality from us? Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take her as a sinner, as a fitna, to herself and other, and forgive her for some another good deed we do not know at night. Don't ever look to the ummah today, because all of us is guilty. All of us is a sinner, but in different levels. According to what Allah knows, not me and you. Don't ever point finger to anybody. Because this naked woman, she might do something tonight, so pleasing to Allah more than you. I remember one of her son, he married two women. And the second woman, the first woman fighting so much for her son, to the point she made the son divorce the second wife. And the second wife was 3 months pregnant and only 4 months married. Do you know what she did? she kicked her son out. She kicked her son out, and she brings the divorced woman in. And she said, Darren, you, how you dare to do this to this woman? Come, I said, my daughter, you will live with me in here until I take care about you and your baby. Don't worry about my son. How many women do that? Tell me, how many women do that? I see in her what even no imam did. The imam asking the husband, when she had her son, to divorce the second wife. And the second wife was pregnant. What mistake she did? Because the first woman is jealous, this is what we do. We throw the other one in the street. With what Islam in that? What she commit? By this way, don't ever forget. The older people used to say, وَلِلَّهِ فِيَ الْبَادِهِ شَأْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between him and his servant is something. Did we know what is it? No. And this is why I said yesterday, like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, you can cry between your mouth one time, Allah love you so much. By this way, don't ever look down to nobody. Don't ever look down to nobody and just waving finger to yourself and try to be sincere in what you're doing. And again, here I'm reading one of the elder people again, he has a neighbor. The neighbor oppressed him so hard. And he gave him all kind of problem. This man get up at night, he make two rak'ah. And he's recited some verses of Quran, and he made dua. The man get up going to go to flesh, he broke his ankle, fall in the hole, he break his leg. He did. This people was amazing. They used to use only one. Who's that? Allah. In any trouble, they used to use Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In any calamity, they used Allah. In any disease, they used Allah is number one. They understood it. Quran is everything, they understood it. And I can give you all kind of verses about, you know, cure, but you can find it in many books. But the verses is not the secret. The secret, the moment of belief in your heart in the time of recitation. You remember Umar Khattab radiallahu anhu, he used to kill anybody who served in Fatah. And after Umar Khattab died, somebody tried to imitate him. Every time somebody comes sick, he recites Surah Al-Fatah. It doesn't work. Somebody saw him. He said, كَذِبَ إِسَامِ Your tongue is a liar. وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ Allah says the truth and you are a liar. And this is what happened to us. How many of us recite, how many of us make dua, how many of us cry? But let me tell you something also. None of what you're doing can be good unless you have no oppression to nobody. Don't oppress anybody. I bear witness, forgive me, we are so oppressive to each other in houses. You dare tell me in your own houses there's nobody oppressing somebody. Especially if your daughter or son get married. Ya Allah, you have to make the whole family nightmare. Because the wife does not make roti the way you like, or she doesn't make rice the way you like, or she's not coming from your clan. Like somebody tell me, what is our habit? Once a girl gets married, we call her my daughter. But it's not your daughter. It's the wife or your son. She has rights. Who did you to oppress her because you are a mommy? Who? Don't do that. And after that, you keep cursing everybody. You're not cursing anybody except yourself. Be careful. We do that a lot. And for what? For Rudy? For caring, for something stupid, and we make everybody miserable, and the woman keeps sleeping at night crying and making dua against you. Be careful. At this time, if you pray 100 rak'ah daily, it's not good for you. If you do hajj every night, it's not good for you. Unless you left the oppression for people. Because we're not the people of oppression, we are the people of peace, the people of love. And we cannot spread love and peace between each other. What kind of people we are? And this was the non-Muslim. Look at us today. This is what kind of people you are. You barbarian. You are ignorant. What kind of message you have? But this way, we become the enemy of the message of Allah. You see it? We become the enemy of the message of Allah. Don't blame the non-Muslim when they talk about us. Blame ourselves. Because we the one we allow them to talk about our action. This is why I believe without no doubt today, you won't be able to reach the highest level of Islam. Set the role model by your action. Set the role model by your action and be with good manner. Deal with people with good manner and good behavior. Now, how we read Quran? We talked about it in this morning yesterday, but if you have Ihya al-Muddin, the book called Ihya al-Muddin by Muhammad Ghazali, Riyad al-Salihin, Mishkat al-Wasabiyya, it goes to all adab al-Tilawa, the manner of Tilawa. And the manner of Tilawa is a lot. I'm going to lead you to some of it, but not all of it. You said, if you're reading Quran and you see a verse, said, Ya ayyuha an-nas, stop and think, is a call to you or your people. And if he said, Ya ayyuha an-nadina amanu, said, Labbaik wa Rabbi, oh my Lord, I'm here to hear you. And you stop and you ask yourself, is me following what Allah said? Or me trying to focus it for me? It's not for you, it's for me. And if you see a verse of Jannah, you be happy and you raise your hand to Allah and you thank Allah and make you among the people of Muslim and read the Quran. And if you see a verse about Shaitan or Jahannam, you ask Allah, oh Allah, forgive me and protect me from the fire of Jahannam. And I always say a word, don't ever forget it, take it from me. The early Imam used to say, listen to this carefully now. Before you read Quran, Quran reading you. Before you read the Quran or you reciting Quran, Quran reading you. Do you understand what I mean? I said it before in here. Does anybody remember? Anybody remember? Yes. Go ahead. Do you know what it means? Okay, it's almost. Go ahead.
I think it means that the Quran knows if you are sincerely reading it or if you're just reading it because you're told to read it.
Or whatever. Go back to intention. If you look in the Quran, kind of what they say, you remember when you make salah? You have engine. This engine is their job to take a video camera of me. In the time of Salah, take a video camera of my heart and go to Allah. And telling Allah exactly the status of me, inside, outside. And if I'm honest and sincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Sadaqa abdi, my servant says the truth. Take it from him. By this way, the early scholars, they said, according to your intention, in a time of recitation, this is what you receive. By this way, why I'm sitting to recite the Quran? Because mommy and daddy tell me, because I have to finish the recitation of today, because I want to enjoy recitation, because I like my voice, because I like to spend some time, I feel happy when I'm doing it, or just to please Allah and let him know I will not forget you, Ya Allah. By this way, according to the moment of the intention, when you're sitting reciting the Quran, this is what you're going to receive. And if you're sitting with the intention to Allah, give me the depth of this knowledge. Open my heart, Ya Allah. Give me the wisdom, Ya Allah. Give me the life, Ya Allah. And again, you sit like a beggar, Allah will give you. By this way, the way you're sitting, your intention of sitting, why you're sitting, what about if I'm sitting reciting Quran because somebody must be so bad, and I'm sitting crying to Allah, again, same thing will happen. Quran manifests inside of me according to my intention. Quran is an ocean, is unlimited, unlimited book. And we're going to talk about it now.
Quran is witness of Jannah, it is thus.
sure, or witness to us. Yes, according to how you live it. Every time you recite Quran is an engine making dua for you if you live it, and is an engine cursing you if you ignore it. This is why one of the scholars he said, "Rubba ayah," maybe a verse in Quran, and you keep reciting it, and Allah cursing you with it every moment you recite it. And maybe a verse in Quran you recite it, and it has a blessing for you every moment you recite it, according to your belief. Now let me tell you something honest to Allah. We did not reach this level. All of us is sick, very sick. At least say to Allah, "Allah, this is your book. I am sick. Forgive me, Allah. I have no good manner to hold it the way I should. I have no good manner to recite it the way I should recite it. I have no good manner, and my heart is not pure. My body is not pure. Oh Allah, forgive me. Forgive me, Allah, at least you be in a state of purity." Because you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will not want us to be injured. He knows we will never be injured. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He want? He want us to be in a state of struggle, mujahada. He want us to be in a state of struggle, mujahada. Don't ever forget that. By this way, I believe today without no doubt, and inshallah I tried. I tried by myself. I said, "Oh Allah, I'm not good. I'm a very weak person. I'm a sinner. You know my weakness. Nobody knows except you, Ya Allah. But please, Allah, forgive me. Forgive me, Ya Allah. And Allah, accept me, Allah. And forgive my sin and my bad manner and my bad behavior." By this way, talk to Allah honest between you and Allah. You see, it's enough to make belief between each other, but don't make belief between you and Allah. Don't make belief between you and Allah. You cannot do that. You cannot lie over Allah. You cannot cheat Allah. You can't. Be honest. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can be the most sinner person. I never forget this. A person came to me one day and he was planning to commit suicide 3 times. He's a Muslim. He tried to commit suicide three times. He was a millionaire, he lost his money, he lost his 2 wives, he lost his kids, he lost his everything, and he started committing suicide. 3 times. And after that he was drunk. Drinking and alcohol, drinking and drugs. And one person, he told me about him. And by the word of Allah, I persuaded him, I tell him, come to me. And he came. And when he came, I gave him dinner, and I talked to him, you know, in a way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened for me, inshallah. And after that, I tell him, what about go and make wudu and make salah with us? He said, okay, no problem. I didn't try it for a long time, but let me go. When I'm time for salah, I tell him, please, I'm not a good person. I want to lead salah. His body starts shivering. He said, me, leading salah, please don't do this to me. He said, please. He respect me so much, he obeyed. Do you know, it was one of the best salah I had in my life. Anybody know why? Why it was the best salah in my life? One of the best salah I ever had in my life. We were 3-4 people, and believe me, he was the imam, he made many mistakes, but all of us, our body was like this, shaking. Why? What's that? You know what happened, sister? To make it short for you, he was scared to death. He was scared from his own sins. He was scared to stop in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know what it means, Islamically? The moment you fear from Allah, that maximum mercy coming down. The moment you fear from Allah and fearing Allah and wanting Allah, this is the moment the mercy coming down. This is why I want to tell people, the best salah I did with me in my life today, in my life, behind the sinner. Because he's so afraid, so humble to Allah, the nose is so down. And sometimes may Allah forgive me. I make salah behind very, very supposed to be big, learned people, and it's so empty. And I ask Allah why. Because even the way they go to salah, like I'm the one who's supposed to pray, I'm the one who's supposed to leave, astaghfirullah al-azim. The moment you feel that, your salah is out. But we do not understand. Do you know the scholar what he said? When you have a sick person or a dead person, what do you recite? All of us know it. Which surah? Surah Yasin. Did he ever recite or read Surah Yasin with tamam, with comprehending? It's so scary. It's a very scary surah. From the beginning to the end, it puts you in a very scary mood. But the person is dead. What does Surah Yasin go to do to a dead person? One scholar only, I forget his name, he said something amazing. I never heard it from nobody in my life. Do you know what he said? He said the wisdom of reciting Surah Yasin over the dead person is not for him, it's for you. He's dead. But if you recite Surah Yasin and you fear Allah, the mercy of Allah come down. And once the moment of the mercy of Allah come down, when he said, Allahumma aghfir lahu, Allahumma arhamu, Allah would send mercy to the dead person. By this way, reciting Surah Yasin with the intention you fear Allah, you wake up. Because the whole Surah Yasin wake up the living, not wake up the dead. Surah Yasin cannot do anything to the dead. It's all wisdom to the living. But if I recite Surah Yasin with the intention, it will do the miracle in the dead. And my heart is dead. What matter? I'm in big trouble more than the dead person. Because I'm supposed to be now in a state of fear because I'm next. And I'm reading exactly what would happen to me. Do you see his understanding? But as we're reading Surah Yasin over a sick or a dead person, supposed to make my heart mellow, fear, calm down, and scare. And this brings a sufficient mercy of Allah over us. Quran, a ocean, has no limit. And according to your talab, according to your ability, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open. Do you remember the famous story of the companion who was reciting Surah Al-Kahf at night? When he see light coming from the sky, and the horses keep screaming, and when he stop reciting, the light go up, and the horse is coming down. He keep reciting again, the horses keep screaming, and the light coming down. He stopped, he was scared. He go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and said, Ya Rasulullah, something happened to me yesterday, I do not understand what happened. Do you know what he told him? He said, this angel was coming of your blessing voice and in your recitation, and he was coming to shake your hand. And if you continue, you will shake their hand, and you will look at them the way you look at you will look at you the way you look at them. And he said of the meaning of, if the heart is pure and you keep reciting Quran, لَصَافَحْتُمْ وَالْمَلَائِكَةَ عَيَانًا, you will shake the hand of the angel and you will see them the way we see each other. But we are so sick and dirty. Weak. And we do not really pure. And this why, if you really love yourself today, you try to purify yourself the maximum you can, quick. And any opening from Allah, any moment, pure to Allah, we are women. And remember, we will never be an angel. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you do not commit sins, Allah will destroy you. And bring people committing sins and asking Allah to forgive them, and Allah will forgive them. This why don't look at us as a weak and a sinner, as bad. No, we do not know. We are in a time of a struggle. All you have to do is struggle, try. Tawfiq belongs to Allah, ability belongs to Allah. But I have to have in my heart only one intention, is struggling toward Allah. Even if I'm bad, Allah can resurrect me in my intention. And don't feel bad about what I'm saying or scared. I will give you something to make you feel very happy, but we have to work toward it. The companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? He said a sentence. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we never were happy more than the sentence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. This sentence, it makes us happy more than anything we heard it from him. Anybody know what this sentence is? A sentence is a hadith. It makes the companion happy more than any hadith, more than any talk from the Prophet. Come on, I want to give you somebody a gift.
Love each other.
Love each other. It is in the same categories, but it's not exactly. You are close.
Love Allah.
You see, this belongs to what we're talking about. We are dirty, we are sinner, we are weak. But something, if we do, we can reach. One thing. And the companion was happy when they heard it. Some of them was crawling in the ground. Hakukul Abad? I said, we are so weak, we're not good, we do not have it, we're so far. But one sentence makes a companion so happy. Taba and Safra, no.
Intention, pure intentions.
I will make it easy for you because you guys are too far. They said a sentence, we heard it from Rasulullah. We never were happy more than this sentence. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time a man came to him and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I love so and so, but I do not have his quality. Where I would be? He said, Al-mar'u ma'a man yuhib. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. The person with whom he loved. The companion was crawling. A man get up again and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I love so and so, but I cannot even do what he's doing. He said, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. And people used to come and ask him, and he keep reciting the same sentence. And he was so happy. You will be resurrected with whom you love. You will be resurrected with whom you love. You know something? We are so dumb. We are so dumb. When I was young, you know what I discovered? I said, Allah, I used to sit down like you guys, you know, really like 15, 16 years old. And I said, Allah, I know myself, I'm so weak. I'm not coming from like Rasulullah Sallallahu family. Not a pure descent. My mother is not Maryam alayhi salam. You know, we come both from corrupted family. Our parents is by God. How we can be really mashallah? We can. Even if we try, we can. The seed has to be good. We only can try. But what Allah subhanahu wa taala said? Look, by this verse, by this hadith of Rasulullah, we are having a beautiful home. Beautiful home. Al-mar'u ma'a man yuhib, aw al-mar'u ma'a man ahab. You will be with whom you love. I tell my father that, may Allah give him mercy. But you know, he tell me something. He tell me you misunderstand the hadith. Because if you love somebody, what you want to do? If you really love somebody, what you want to do? What's that? If you cannot follow.
If you really love somebody, you want them to be in a better place than yourself.
MashaAllah, but something very important.
Pay attention to MashaAllah.
What's that?
You pay attention to the person you love.
MashaAllah. You try to please the person. You, at least you know the person. For example, if you take one companion, or one female companion, and you love her, do you know what it means? Even if you're not able to do, even if you're not able to do her action, her emotion inside your heart. By this way, what it means? It will develop a zeal and a desire and intention in your heart. Even if you do not have the ability to do
it. You try your best.
Exactly. No, because you see, we miss something very important. I'm weak. I'm a sinner. I'm not good. I'm by God. But something Allah promised me is so beautiful. What is it? Intention. Intention. If my intention for Allah, if my desire for Allah, if I'm trying to please Allah, if I'm really, I'm aiming to imitate so-and-so companion, so-and-so companion, so-and-so companion, it's inside my heart. What left is a tawfiq from Allah, I have no control over. Meaning, my ability to do, I cannot do it. It's only from Allah. But if I die tonight, as many hadith about that, if you die in a certain intention, Allah promised to resurrect you in your intention. And this is why today we forget something very important. The power of intention, the power of the status of the heart, and the power of your thinking. Why today our ability is paralyzed? Because our thinking is paralyzed, our heart is paralyzed. But if my love to Allah, my love to Rasulullah, love, but true love, don't tell me you love and all your thinking is up against the love. This is not love. Because when you love, at least you're in a state of imitating or pleasing. If any one of you get married and she really loves her husband, what she would do? Try to please him. And she feels short. And even if she's bad, she will say, excuse me, I'm not good. But please, I'm trying. If anything I can do for you, you would be humble. You would be kind. You would be generous. You would be considerate. For those you love, this is love. Even if you do good, you will never say, I'm good. What are you doing to me? No, you will not do that. Because love is giving. By this way, if I love Allah, I love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I love the companion, what happened for even one of them? Inside, deep inside of my heart, do you think I worry about gold? I worry about Lexus and Mercedes? I worry about houses? I worry about a man, you know, has a status? Or I worry about the status between me and Allah? I worry about what I'm doing. And even if I'm not doing, at least, if you open my heart, open my mind, it will be what? Allah, 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 Allah. I'm not worried about my kids. Why we worship our kids? Really, why we worship our kids? Because our heart is empty. And we fulfill it with kids. Or our marriage is by God. And when the relationship between me and husband is not good, I fill it with the kids. And when the kids is my by God, I now fulfill it with miserable. Or phone calls. Or go, or make believe. Why? Because I'm empty. But it's not a status of a Muslim. A status of a Muslim, I am busy with Allah. And I'm waiting. Oh Allah, open for me. Even if you do not do nothing, Allah can lead you. Because we forget something else. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ad-dalu 'ala al-khayr kafa'il." The one who leads to goodness equal to the one he doing. Meaning you can sit down, you can be paralyzed, you're so sick, you cannot move, but you're making phone call, advising people of good deed. Anytime you do good deed, you have a copy in your book. How many of us leading to good deed and inviting to good deed? The only one, when you die, your deed never die. Your body die, but your soul never die, and your action never die, and be continued. The one who will lead to goodness. You understand? Now, he goes on to the level of recitation. And he said the level of recitation is three. People recite the Quran and they think Allah is talking to them. And people recite the Quran and they talk to Allah. And people recite the Quran from the tongue and they not heard. Like one scholar, he said something very beautiful. He said, you won't know who you are when you recite the Quran, be honest. And may Allah forgive me. I'm with you in the same boat. Don't think I'm really somebody. Wallahi, I'm nobody. I can be worse than any one of you. I bear witness to Allah, I can be the worst than any one of you. What happened when I recite Quran? Sometimes you recite Quran and you're really aware about what you're reciting. Sometimes you can recite one juz and maybe only you can remember one or two verses. Do you know what it means? The heart was not ready. The more the heart is ready, the more Allah allows you to see the verses. Not only see it and feel it. If you recite and you go back to Quran, and you forget even where you are, you know exactly your heart was dead at this time. Allah veil your heart. Take it from me. And this varies from one night to another, morning to another, according to the status of the heart. If the heart really for Allah, you will find out, you really sit down. Whatever happening, you don't care. You can see. You can comprehend. You can see the Quran is coming alive. You can understand and you say, wow, this is what it means. This. You have no tafsir. The tafsir coming automatically to you. But this status, it needs a lot of work. A lot of work. And you cannot have it unless you divorce everybody. Unless Allah and Rasulullah and Islam in your heart above anybody. And this, believe me, is the worst and the most calamity we have. What is it? We have everybody in the heart except Allah. And how you know? You think about your kids, your husband, the future, the money, the house, the car, this and that. If you think about none of this, you are quite blind. Because you should think about only one time. Where's my Islam? Where's the Islam of the Ummah? And even if you see by your husband or your kids or your wife is bye-bye, just make dua for them and keep going. We cannot stop. We are in a very, very tragic time. We cannot stop. With them or without them, you have to keep going. Men and women and children, the responsibility is so high. And the price is so high. Take it from me before it's too late. By this way, the first action is to cry to Allah and ask Allah, oh Allah, take the love of everybody out of me, and oh Allah, fill my heart with your love, and love of Rasulullah, and love of Islam, ya Allah. Finished. It doesn't mean I do not love you. I do not love your kids. I do not love my kids. I do not love my wife. But the love of mercy, the love of compassion, the love Allah wants us to have, not the love of domination, is mine, is mine. No, no, it's not mine. Nobody on nobody. And we're supposed to worry about Islam is number one. And we have Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar for myself, Allahu Akbar for my wife, Allahu Akbar for my kids, Allahu Akbar for everybody. Is this understood? This is the main core. Without it, we don't go anywhere. And he said, the level of reading. Now, the moment you start reciting, the moment you start reading Quran, you will go in 10 levels. And I'm going to take it to you step by step, one by one. Okay? The first level, when you recite Quran, you recite Quran with iman, with faith in Allah. If you recite Quran with iman, you reach the second level. Wa taslim. Completely surrender and submit to what Allah said. You have no liking and disliking everything coming in your heart so pleased and so beautiful. And the third, to make tawbah. Meaning all the time when I recite the Quran, I ask Allah to give me tawbah, to accept me. And number four, patient. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow me to continue with steadfast and istiqamah of what I'm reading. Number four, five, contentment, ridha, to be content. One of the worst calamity I see today in the Ummah, I see our faces is dark. It's not your skin is dark, it's your heart is dark. Because the heart, if it's dark, it reflects in your face. And if your face is light, it reflects in your face. Now, what it means? Don't ever forget me. You're not going anywhere if you're not content with Allah. You're not going anywhere if you're content with Allah. And for us, male and female, I see it. One sister goes by, and your eyes go by with her. It's almost like trying to measure her. What she has, what she doesn't have. What I have, what she doesn't have. It's very bad. Very bad. Don't judge. Don't look to other. Don't look at other, who's more greater than you, who has what, whose figure is what, who has money, who doesn't have money, who has status, get away. This is the ultimate calamity. You're not going anywhere unless you are content. If you're not content, you're not going anywhere. The moment you contend, Allah give you beauty, I promise you, you will never believe it. Even if the most ugly woman or man in the earth. Because the ugly is not in the face or the body, the ugly of the heart. Because the moment you are pleasing Allah and you are pleased with Allah, Allah can give you beauty and secret in yourself, people will be attracted to you even if you are nothing. Because love belongs to Allah, by the way. Don't ever forget that. Love belongs to Allah. If Allah wants you to be the most beloved person on earth, He will be. He will make you be. But according to what? Your beauty, the way you dress, the way you look like, your status, Allah He knows. I swear by Allah, is a secret from Allah. He gave it to the heart of whom He loves. The heart attached and deattached according to the will of Allah and according to who you are. But one of the secrets is contentment. Don't ever forget me. Contentment is a seed. Be content, Allah will be content with you. And if Allah is content with you, what else you want? If you please with Allah, Allah be pleased with you. And this is the ultimate. You want Allah to open all the goodness for you? Be content. And don't ever look to other and compare. Ever. Take it from me. Ever. She's taller, she's higher, she's this, she's that. He is. She is. Get away. Number six, wal khawf. Fear. Always we have to be in a state of fear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can punish us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reject all our good deeds. Because don't ever think you go to Jannah with you. Don't ever think of that. Do you know that or no? None of us go to Jannah with good deed. None of us go to paradise with his good deed. Who said that? Anybody remember? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What he said? Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked him, Ya Rasulullah, are we going to Jannah with our good deed? He said, no, Ya Aisha. We go to Jannah with the mercy of Allah. She said, what about you? Ya Rasulullah. He said, even me, I will not go to Jannah unless Allah yataghammalni bi rahmatuh. Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower me with his mercy. Now, what about why we do good deed? I will summarize it for you. One scholar, he said something so beautiful. He said, you will not go to Jannah without the mercy of Allah. And you will never pass over the sirat, you will never pass over the bridge to Jannah without al-af. The af is a higher level of forgiveness. Af, like in Ramadan, we said, Allahumma innaka afuwwun kareemun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu 'anna. Is this understood? Af. Why? Anybody know why? We're not going to pass over the sirat without the af. The bridge. Nobody passes from the sirat without the afu of Allah. Why? Because at the moment of passing the sirat, before anybody passes the bridge, Allah will quote a sentence. This sentence is the most scary sentence to mankind. The most scary sentence to mankind, Allah will call it before passing of the bridge. Does anybody remember? This sentence, believe me, you cannot be a Muslim unless you memorize this sentence. You cannot be a Muslim unless you memorize this sentence, and you will never be successful in this life and hereafter until you engrave it in your heart. And when I tell you, I will explain it why. Does anybody know what it is? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would call when everybody gathered before the bridge. Do you know what he would say? La dhulma al-yawm. No oppression after today. What between you and me, I forgive you. And what between you and each other, I will not forgive you. Now the judgment now. Now everybody will scream. Why? Because at this moment, anybody oppress anybody by look, by word, by sentence, by heart, by action, nobody will pass until Allah brings the two people, the oppressor and the oppressed, and said to the oppressed one, my servant, he oppressed you in life, I have to give you right today. Tell me what I do for you to please you. At this moment, mankind will be screaming. Allah said, I forgive you, I forgive all your sins, but what between you and each other, I will not forgive you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried so heavily. This verse or this hadith, Rasulullah cried so heavily. Do you know why? He said, at this moment, every one of you, he will wish never to force anyone. Do you know why? You cannot please me in the day of judgment if I give me a dollar or a $100. You cannot leave me, please me and tell me, take my car, take my wife, take my husband, take my business. You can. Because in the day of judgment, I will ask you for good deed. And if I'm not pleased with you, I will say, Allah, take all my good deed, give it to her or him. And Allah will keep asking me until he pleases me. This is the role of Allah in the day of judgment. My dear brother and sister in Islam, be careful by not oppressing anyone. My father, may Allah give him mercy, may God give you sympathy. My son, I give you the secret of life. Sleep at night oppressed, but don't sleep oppressor. To be sleep at night oppressed is much better for you, but don't sleep oppressor. Don't ever do that. And I bear witness to Allah. After September 11, I say, I have a complete group of tape about September 11. And I said, this moment, Muslim today is the ultimate oppressor in earth today. Nobody oppressed nobody more than us. Nobody oppressed nobody more than us. And if you do not believe me, look at your own manner and quality between you and others. Look at what you're doing between you and others. Look at our family and the structure. Look at the amount of envy and hate. Look at the amount of playing game. Look at the amount of stealing from each other. Look at the amount of brother and sister fighting each other over the body of their father for their inheritance. Wife and kids, kids and mother, mother and father, uncle and this. Nobody doing what we do. Nobody. You go to any Muslim country, you go now, even if you have a business, and they tell you, I have some sister or brother to work for you, you say, no Muslim. Why is he cheating? Is he lying? Is he stealing? This is not the point of a Muslim. How come the Muslim supposed to be the leader of honesty and integrity? We become so suspicious of each other. We're not neat, we're not clean. We love to make our houses miserable. Why? Because we are so zalim. We should pressure. Are you bringing peace inside your family? Are you bringing peace with your son or daughter or her husband or her wife?
What do you mean by oppress?
Oppress could mean a lot. You can oppress people with a book. If you look to me in a bad way, it's oppression. If you call me name, it's oppression. When a scholar, when I was young, he was crying. He fell down in the minbar. He fell down in Jamar, and he was crying so heavily. Do you know why? He said, you people, who can anybody you want, but don't kill each other. He said, because if you kill somebody with a knife or a gun, you kill the person once. But if you oppress the person daily, and the person is sleep crying, you're killing the person every moment. Every moment, I bear witness, forgive me. Today, if you look at your family, I never see oppression among our women more than you. I did not feel and see a woman, or a Muslim woman, without complaining about her mother-in-law, her sister-in-law, her husband-in-law, her father. We do mischief. We do mischief. Like we have to live miserable. Who said that? Why? Why do we oppress each other so much? Do you know if I look at you and make you tear, I'm in trouble. If I look at you and make you miserable, I'm in trouble. If I call you names and you get upset and I hurt you, I am in trouble. Do you know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the heart of the believer, the heart of the believer is so high, so elevated in Allah, so precious in the eye of Allah, more than destroying the Kaaba. The man who destroys the Kaaba is not hated in the eye of Allah more than a Muslim oppressing a Muslim. It's a hadith for that. It's a hadith. If you look to a Muslim or talk to a Muslim and you scratch his heart, you are in front of Allah more hated than Hadi al-Ka'bah, than the one who destroyed the Ka'bah in the end of time, which is the most, you know, hated man in the earth by Allah. Is this not scary? Is this not scary? The one who destroys the Kaaba, the one Allah will take care of the whole earth and destroy it, and then judgment start coming, Allah will not hate him most. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the one who hurting his Muslim brother or sister is more hated by Allah than the one who destroys the Kaaba. Is this not scary? And we're looking now today outside, all the people what is doing to us, but what we do to each other. And what I said, if you do not believe me, read in any Muslim book, the chapter of zulm, the chapter of oppression, you will be scared. Do you know what Rasulullah said of the meaning of, if I summarize all the chapter for you, he said, if we oppress each other, Allah sent people worse than us, they will oppress us for the way we did it with each other. And Allah will not change condition unless we lift the oppression among each other. Meaning, what we see all over will keep continuing. Will keep continuing unless we lift the oppression. Today I challenge you, go to Arabic countries. Go to Muslim countries, supposed to be or whatever court. How many father taking a daughter to the court? And son or daughter taking the mother to the court? Why? Why are we taking our mother and father to the court? For a piece of land? For an apartment? For a bunch of cows? For some money? For some inheritance? Is this a price? We're ready to fight each other for money? We're killing each other for money? We do sahra against each other for money? We envy each other for money? And we not worry about Allah? What about our wars? Today, the statistics in the Ummah, nobody in earth today reached the level of eldest, like what I'm saying is, a girl reached her puberty. And our girl, mashallah, 10, 11 years old, she's a woman. But she cannot marry until 28, 32, 45. What is that? In Egypt, high statistic, you can find a virgin 45 years of 150. Why? Because we make it so difficult. Our girls cannot get married. We put a high price. We have high demand. We push them. They have to be from certain people, with certain this, with certain that. And before you know it, I heard it only from a scholar. May Allah give him mercy, may grant him, he died 8 years ago. You know what he said? He said, any father, any mother, delaying the marriage of their own daughter or son in the front of Allah, they are zalim. In the front of Allah, they are oppressive. And if the girl or the man touching themselves or commit any sins, the father and the mother take the punishment. The father and mother take the punishment, and in the front of Allah, the sons and daughter will come in the front of Allah and say, Ya Allah, my mother did this to me. My mother delayed my marriage. My mother set the rule. My father set the rule. She did not want me to marry so and so because he doesn't have money. He did not marry. Whatever it is the reason, unless it's according to Sharia. If it's not according to Sharia, believe me, wallahi today, you know what I'm fearing for? I'm fearing for the mother. All the Muslim mother, wallahi, I'm scared for them. I'm scared for them, because not the Jewish is so oppressed. You see what the Jewish doing in Palestine? They do nothing compared to our woman. Our woman doing to us more than any oppression in earth. Don't blame Shaitan, blame yourself. With what Quran and Sunnah, you're doing what you're doing. With what Quran and Sunnah, you're oppressing your own daughter and son. With what Quran and Sunnah, they have to have a doctoral degree before they get married. With what Quran and Sunnah, you delay them until they become ugly and fat and big. Read. Why? Why you make the girl losing her own beauty? And by the time she's building all the bad habits, she gets married. And now she cannot be a good wife. Why is she building the habit of her mother and father? Now they're starting arguing fight. And what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, He advised us, marry the virgin. Once a girl reaches puberty, marry her. It's the best time for her, because she will become a beautiful wife to her husband. And where is the mother who educates her son to be a man with a quality to take care about his wife? But we oppress our men and our boys, and they become a mommy boy. And once they marry, they give it back to the girls, and the cycle continues. What kind of sickness we have? Tell me, what kind of sickness we have? And we want to read Quran, and we want mashallah Quran to be, boom, blooming in our face. It will never happen unless with you and without oppressor each other. Now you understand what I mean, oppression? What about if you bad to your mother, if you bad to your father, if you nasty, if you talk to them loud, if you're not honest? Is it oppression? Is it what kind of oppression? What about oppression against ourselves by setting priority to the dunya and not leaving Allah and Jannah? Is this not oppression? When I put priority to all the garbage of dunya and leaving Jannah, is that oppression? This is what he said. You cannot be just to other unless you're just to yourself. And after al-khawf wa rajaa, number 7, al-rajaa. Al-rajaa meaning the hope. No Muslim can live without hope. You have to have the hope of Allah. You have to have to believe Allah is merciful. Allah is kind. Allah is generous. Allah will accept you. All you have to do is knock the door of Allah. Allah will open it for you. You have to. The more you believe in Allah, the more Allah gives you. If you believe Allah is generous, Allah will be generous to you. If you're generous to others, Allah will be generous to you. Like one scholar, I wish we have time in the end of this program, before the end of the summer, is the most beautiful name of Allah. And the most beautiful name of Allah, one scholar, he said, you want to know how Allah will treat you? See how you treat others. You want to know how Allah treats you in the day of judgment? See how you treat others. If you treat others with kindness, Allah treats you with kindness. You treat them with generosity, Allah treats you with generosity. You treat them with mercy, Allah treats you with mercy. You be tough, He will be tough to you. You do not forgive people? I know people, I know family. You didn't forgive your own brother. He said, Allah, I will not forgive them. They have to go to hell forever. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Imagine if this is our intention between each other. Where are you going? Washukr. This is another secret of life. Another secret of life, I'm going to go to Allah, ashukr. Shukr, thanks Allah. And don't ever forget. I'm going to tell you something, don't ever forget it. Shukr not even say, oh, I'm sure, do thank Allah, I shukr to Allah, but my husband do this, my wife do this, is this shukr?
No.
Do you see it? Shukr, we go back to the verse about Sulaiman alayhi salam and Dawood alayhi salam. Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah gave a kingdom, he never gave it to nobody. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اَعْمَلُوا آلَ دَوُودَ شُكْرًا وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورُ. All the family of David, do shukr. By this way, shukr, they said the scholar, مَقْرُونٌ مِنْ عَمَلٍ. Shukr is joined with action. You cannot say, I'm doing shukr, but you do not do action. An action here can be worship, dhikr, remember Allah, amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy an munkar, charity, be generous, this all the sign of shukr. And also they said, anytime somebody look at your face, I have to see shukr in your face. Shukr in your tongue. Shukr in your behavior. Meaning you are in a state of contentment, happiness. Under any calamity, you should be always happy. Wal-mahabba, love. You have to have love. Do you see how we're going now? We're going up. We're going up now. From 1 to 10, we're going up. Now what's number 9? Love. Love, number 9. And you will not believe number 10. Love whom? My kids? Love my neighbors? Love my shoes? Love my degree? Love my status? Love my kitchen? Today we're willing to fight each other if I make you dirt, your kitchen dirty. But if I corrupt your iman, no problem. We worry about the glass to be broken. We worry about the dish to be broken. We worry about the chandelier. We worry about the cleanness of the house, but we're not worrying about the cleanness of the heart. How many hours we spend it weekly to clean the house so clean, and how many hours we spend it to clean our heart? Tell me, honest to Allah. You worry so much about how you look like, your nails how it look like, but how much you worry about how your heart look like? Translate this. Okay. By this way, al-mahabba, the love, meaning the love of Allah, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also, if you think about the bounty of Allah, it leads you to mahabba. If you think about the bounty of Allah, it leads you to mahabba. If you do not believe me, go to any hospital. If any hospital do not show you the love of Allah to you, you are dumb and you are blind. Because if you look at the sickness and the amount of sickness, what about if I have 2 or 3 diseases, 10 diseases, nothing? Because the ultimate sickness is kufr. The ultimate sickness is disbelief. The ultimate sickness is arrogance. The ultimate sickness to be far away from Allah. We look to the physical sickness, but we do not look to the heart sickness. Like Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he said, all the sickness in earth has a cure. Do you know what's the cure of all the sickness? It's dead. When you die, you cannot say, it hurt, give me an aspirin. No. All your disease is gone. Can you call Dr. Jameen? He cannot do anything. Can you call the pharmacy? It doesn't work. All your sickness in this life has a cure, which is death. Except one disease. Do you know what is it? The disease of the heart. They said it has only one cure. Do you know what is it? Hellfire. Imagine. And this way, Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, he spent 12 years in the graves crying over himself. Crying over himself. He said, how I meet Allah when my heart is not pure? This is the ultimate calamity. If somebody has high blood pressure, go up, we have to take him to the doctor, 2 or 3 medication. You take your medication on time, and the whole house is a nightmare. Well, that's because his high blood pressure go up, or his sugar go down, or whatever. But if our iman go down, our manner go down, our faith go down, we will not worry about it, and we will not make any sorrow about it. And this is a reality. Now, number 10, at-tawakkul. Number 10, at-tawakkul, rely on Allah. And I bear witness in the front of Allah. The ummah today do not rely on Allah. We rely in our money. We rely in our status. We rely in our mind. We rely on everything, but we do not rely on Allah. Imagine why Allah would show me, why Allah would support me if I do not rely on Allah. Tell me, how? It will not work. Rely on Allah, one of the state Allah loved most. Anybody know why? Anybody know why? Why tawakkul, rely on Allah, Allah loved most? Why?
You trust in Allah.
You will never rely on Allah unless you trust in Allah. And you will never trust in Allah unless you have yaqeen. And you will never have yaqeen unless you have iman. You see? Actually, the tawakkul, relying on Allah, as he said, is the fruit of the whole Islam. Tawakkul is a fruit of the whole Islam and surrender to Allah. And this is why they have it as a number 10. Do you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Yaseen? لِيُنْدَرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا. To warn those who are living. Do you remember what I tell you about Surah Yaseen? لِيُنْدَرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا. To warn those who are living. Because you cannot And then started sitting in front of me. How I warn him? Warn him about what? He's dead. But reciting Surah Yasin should warn me. I'm the living one. I'm next. But listen carefully. لِيُنْذَرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, warn whoever is alive. Is we in the front of Allah alive or dead? With that, dead, unless you remember Allah all the time. If you remember Allah, you are alive. If you do not remember Allah, you are dead. Living and dead, it has nothing to do with the body. Everybody has a soul, everybody has a body. And our vision, our basira, our light according to our remembering of Allah. And not, I finish a thousand. No. If you finish a thousand then, but after you finish automatically, you oppress everybody in the house. Tell me what kind of dhikr you did. Wallahi, I see it in my life a lot. I see a woman has a big tasbih, sit down for half an hour, 45 minutes, 1 hour, doing dhikr. MashaAllah, Zabaris for Zabaris. And the moment she finished it, MashaAllah, Dracula, Hitler the second. Wait. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? If you remember Allah should give you mercy, compassion, love. I see it a lot. And I see it with many people. I'm not attacking women. I'm not attacking a group of people. It's an action. I know a man, he makes a lot and a day every day 2,000-3,000 times. But if he sees his action, Allah, he cry for him. He's so oppressor. Oppressor to his son, oppressor to his wife of his son. His wife of her son, she looked like a slave. You know, he and keep shouting and yelling and screaming and treat her so bad. What she did. And she served him, running back and forth, trying to serve him. And he's not pleased. Why we do that? Because the heart is not content. We have no justice. We have no love. We have no compassion. We have no mercy to each other. Do we think about death? Do we think about the day of judgment? Do we think about meeting Allah? But that's why be careful. Before you read Quran, correct yourself, because the more you correct yourself, the more you will be fine, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open for you, and otherwise will be vague. You have a session or no session, it will not work. You can go to Columbia University, you can go to any university, Azhar, Medina, take all kinds of scholarship in Quran, but unless you are just and mercy, you cannot see Quran. It's gone? And you're waiting until it's gone? MashaAllah. It is the day it's gone. I think I'll be fine, finished by 5 minutes.
But 1 minute left, 1 minute.
It's finished completely?
1 minute left.
1 minute, MashaAllah. Okay, do you want me to continue or you have some question or answer? Whatever you want. Or is it enough for you? What's that? Okay, what happened? Who paid for the TV? You see, we are so amazing. Who bought the TV? Who gives them the computer? Who buys them the game? Who paid for every single month? Actually, any cable today, you can ask for one feature which you can block on a channel or some channel time. But you have everything possible. And also, you have to be honest to ourselves. Today, we leave our kids so dumb, so spoiled for 10, 15 years. And all of a sudden, we want them to be Maryam alayhi salam in 24 hours. It doesn't work. It has to be a cycle. It has to be a change. And one of the best change is you. One of the best change is you and Amal. Is finished, Habib?
Yes.
I hope you do so. Okay, give me one moment. Unless you want to run,
you can run.
Full time in verse of the Quran is so important when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, when He asks us to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us alive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anfal, verse 24, He asked us to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow him. إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. Follow him to what he command you, to what make you alive. Meaning Islam make us alive. Following Allah and His Messenger make us alive. And also one of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to teach people 5 verses at a time. He never increased more than 5 verses. 3 or 5. It never reported Rasulullah teaching anybody more than 5 verses. Listen carefully. 5 verses at a time. Okay? And this also you can go to any chapter of knowledge. You will see a lot of hadith about that. The importance of knowledge and seeking knowledge. Now, any question, any concern? Yes, doctor.
Like, I mean, people said, I mean, you
Mentioned
that you work for Makkah and the very first sight when you see whatever dua you ask, will be accepted. According to the status of heart, or it's not like that. I mean, in India, Pakistan, they have a belief like that.
Okay.
When you see and whatever you do,
okay. Dr. Jameel said, what about the famous say, when you go to Hajj or when you go to Umrah, the moment your eyes touch Kaaba, your dua is accepted. Now, he said, in our country, we believe in that. Sure, you have to believe in that, but you have to put in consideration the another doctor hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the day of judgment, some of you will come and they have in the right shoulder a mountain of good deed more than the mountain of Uhud. But شَلَّ مَهَادَ وَصَبَّ هَادَ وَأَخَذَ مِنْ مَالَ هَادَ. Meaning, he oppressed somebody, he insults somebody, he steals from somebody, all kind of bad action. And now we go back to what we said. Yes, Allah accept your dua and everything and give you everything, but in the day of judgment, somebody else can take all your good deed. If you oppress other, somebody else might take your good deed. I said it one time to a Jewish man I was giving the da'wah. What happened is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Isra al Mi'raj, he sees Jibreel alayhi salam making palaces in Jannah, building palaces in Jannah. And he sees another engine moving these palaces to another area. He said, Ya Jibreel, I see something I do not understand. What's going on? He said, every one of mankind, he has a place in Jannah. Everybody from mankind, Allah created, he has a place in Jannah. Unless he disobey Allah. When he disobey Allah, Allah moved to whom who obey Allah. Do you know in Quran how many verses said about Jannah? And let him with her miraf. What does it mean miraf? Miraf meaning inheritance. Meaning Jannah, a lot of Jannah will be inherited. Inherited by whom? By the one who lost it. By this way, we have Jannah we get, and we have Jannah we inherited. Meaning it's not supposed to be belong to us. Allah gave us extra. But why would give you? And this why 12 years ago, I said it, and some people was against me. I said, every day, you can marry plenty of wives, and every day you can divorce plenty of wives. Every day you're building palaces, and every day you're destroying your own palaces. according to what you're doing today. And I used to say to people, how many wives you married today? How many palaces you generate or you build today in Jannah? You see, we worry about when we meet each other, how much you make? How long you been in this deal? How much you save? Did you make another house in overseas? Did you have a business? Did you have a company? MashaAllah. And you have a license, MashaAllah. And we go to the life of these steps. But nobody said, how many palaces you gain today? How many wives you marry today? How many wives you divorce today? You see? How many palaces you give it to other today? Do you know, I see us, our young men, as a taxi driver or others, as a Muslim, and we're driving and we keep cursing everybody. Who give you the right to curse anybody? Even if he's a non-Muslim, he's a Hindu, he's a Buddhist, he's an atheist. What is your problem? He's atheist to himself. He did kufr between him and Allah. Is Allah give you the right to insult him? Verbally or non-verbally? Intentionally or not intentionally? Who tell you to do so? Do you know these people in the road can put us or a Muslim in big trouble? Because in the day of judgment, yes, you do not see Allah said, come here. Why you insult so and so? He cut me off. Okay, he cut you off. This is bad man. Why you insult him? I tell you to insult him. I tell you to curse him. I tell you to put him name. Now, so and so non Muslim. Listen carefully, come take your rights. Do you know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he said? اتقوا دعوة المظلوم. Fear the dua of the oppressed one. حتى إذا كان من كافر. Even if he's from disbeliever. Doesn't mean he is disbeliever, he's exempt from us. No, no, no. Because I'm serving Allah. Today you find a Muslim working for a Muslim but stealing. Why are you stealing? He says, he's not giving me enough money. Who tell you so? If he impress you, it's his business. You like it, it's your business. You do not like it, leave it. But why are you stealing? Why are you taking? Why are you doing? Why are you cheating? What, do you know what it means to me? We're not leaving, we're not living to Allah. We're not a Muslim, really. If you really put it down in the really bottom line, we're serving ourselves, we're not serving Allah. We do not have la ilaha illallah. Be careful, please. You're dealing with Allah 24 hours, 7 days a week. You're not dealing with me and you. It doesn't mean you're in a car, you're examined. I see some of us, once we come into the masjid, kufi on, Quran on. Once we leave, this Quran, yank you on. I do not understand. Do you deal with who? We have to build sincerity. We have only a few minutes. Any question, any concern? No, the wife, the hadith, I cannot hear nothing. I cannot hear you. Is anybody can tell me what she said? So oppression is wrong. But what happens? Yeah. You see, today I might become a Jew. And a Muslim is not like that. Like some young man or some boy, whatever, they come to me and tell me, I want to do such and such. I tell him why. He said to me, for fun. I tell him, is a Muslim really have time for fun? We are in this calamity and we have time for fun. Fun of what? We can have fun, but a serious fun. You see, honest to Allah, look at us. Look at our young girls. For example, between the phone, gossip, backbiting, you name it, namima, and the day is gone. It's almost like I'm swearing by Allah. If I do not have at least 6-8 hour gossip and namima and backbiting, my day is gone. And after that, you said, I have no time. And not the morning go, or somebody go, please, please, Between computer and the phone, Masha Allah, the intelligence is unbelievable. And they're talking like 800 words per second. And once we come into that, I'm going, all of a sudden, like you have 200 in each hour. Why? Join intentionally or not intentionally, get away. Do you know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who I give you inshaAllah Riyad al-Salaheen, read in Riyad al-Salaheen, for example, the chapter of Dahr. Do you know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? Al-Dahr, yumit al-qalb. The laughing, killing your heart. وَيَأْخُذْ بِنُورِ الْوَجْهِ. And take the light of the face. Do you remember what I tell you, the face is dark? Darkness is not your skin. One companion, one night, he was with Allah, and the following day the companion told him, what happened? You look so handsome, you look so pretty, your face is light. What happened to you? He said, I spent a day or a night between me and Allah. Allah gave me from his beauty. You see, this goes back to our intention. How old are you, sister? Huh? I cannot hear you.
16,
you should be a woman having kids and a mother. I'm serious. I'm waiting until I become pickles, 28, 32. Like we have to be rotten before we get married. I'm serious. We want to pickle our kids. Physically and emotionally, believe me. Forgive me, but physically and emotionally, we have to get rotten. We do not even know how to clean ourselves. From outside our something and from inside garbage. Look at our rules. Look at our clothing. Please wake up. 16, you're not a baby. And most of you, mashallah, 11, 12 years old, you have puberty. In the front of Allah, books is open. In the front of Allah, you are adult. Forget about mommy. Mommy, oh, she's my baby. Big, 5, 6, 7, 8 foot. You know, 200 pounds and she's still a baby. And the more she gain weight, the more mashallah. Say it again? Exactly. Sure. You see what happened? We're supposed to be in a constant education. But what kind of education system? If you need 12, 14 years of education, or you need to know how to be a woman, how to be a mommy, how to be a teacher. What's that? Who said so? Because we treat them like a baby. Maybe you do not believe it?
No.
I wish I meet you with some people, I said, 6 years old, they talk to you like men. But you see, if maybe, baby, all my life is baby, what kind of knowledge you give them? You give them toys, you spoil them, lollipop, popsicle, you know, bubble gum, and this all they know. And after that, 12 years old and bubble gum. 12 years old and bicycle. This one is zero. It has not, it is you as a mother as a criminal. Because if you study Islam from the age of 7, I check it thoroughly, from the age of 7, girls should be separated from boys. And the girls would be with women who have the quality to give us the education of women. And boys should be with men. To give them the education of manhood, because Islam teach us to build the habit first. And after that, when you reach the puberty and you reach the intellect, you tell them why they have this habit. Now the knowledge bound with habit. But you do not leave them nonsense, watching cartoon, blaming their toes and nose, and before you know it, all of a sudden you want them to be a woman. Believe me, I hardly, honest to Allah, forgive me, I hardly see a woman. I hardly see even a girl. There's a huge difference between a female, a girl, and a woman. And a big difference between a male, and a boy, and a man. And Islamically, you cannot be a woman unless you are in the company of women. Company of women, that's a quality. Even if you read and learn, where you get the quality from, the quality you receive it from environment. Books will not give you the quality. Books sometimes can give you arrogance because you believe I have the knowledge. But you forget, once you are dealing with others, at this moment the reality of the knowledge show up. This is why we fail to be a good to each other. Why we fail? Because our heart is sick. You see, learn whatever inequality you are, but will not show up unless you deal with others. Who you are, show up in the time of dealing. You can be sitting in your room and be the Mrs. Bias, the most one. Maryam alayhi salam, no problem. But once you deal with others, the reality of you, the reality of your habit, the reality of your heart, are you stingy? Are you generous? Are you kind? Are you patient? Are you angry? Are you stuck? Are you arrogant? Whatever you have will show up in a time of dealing with others. Don't ever forget me. You want to know who you are really? See what you're doing when you deal with others and how you deal with them if you're honest to Allah before it's too late. And similar to our young girls or young boys. How you be a man or a woman unless you be in the company of those who have it. But the father is by buying all the time making money. The mother complaining in the phone with others. Do you think these kids will have something? No. Because the mother is empty. How empty gives something? And even in a honest empty. Because if you are honest empty, you know what he said? My daughter, my son, I'm a by woman. I'm not a woman. I do not have it. I'm a garbage woman. I do not have the quality. Please see the knowledge and the quality. Let's seek it together. How many of us honest to do that? Believe me, if you find your son and daughter and give them the truth, it's much better than making believe. Because we love to make believe. Because if you have the quality, your kids, inshallah, will carry some quality. Because us as a Muslim affect environment. But if we have it, but if we do not have it, we also affect the environment. But we affect it in an opposite way, in a negative way. But as we stand to that look to the people as age, age doesn't mean nothing. I can meet you with 59 years old man acting like a boy. It's no problem. Because maturity has nothing to do with age. Don't ever think maturity has nothing to do with age. It's the way you grow up. The first 6-7 years in your life is the most crucial time in your life. Don't ever forget it if you're honest to Allah.
How do you handle a person, let's say, your family or what you mean there, your mom is
how do you deal with the oppressor? Is he oppressed you or is he oppressed others?
No.
Be specific.
I'm just giving an example. A sister of an aunt is oppressing your mom.
Okay.
How do you handle that?
Be patient and make dua and get away. What do you want me to do? Tell me what you can do, take her to court. Do you think anybody will be? Because she's poor, she's retarded. How old?
80.
I see. This is a calamity. Why? We have to test the calamity. You see, why she's oppressor? Because she's ignorant. And the reality of her show up. Is this not serious? Supposed to be the more you get older, the more you get softer. The more you get closer to Allah. But because our parents and our grandparents are so empty, the more you get older, the more you become oppressor. The reality of their heart show up, make dua for them. Try to be kind from a distance. But doesn't mean you put them in. If you can save some money and make a small house nearby when everybody can go visit all the time or sometime, and you know, like voluntarily set it up or schedule it. But if you do not let them live with you, because we have a problem. All the in need and father-in-law and mother-in-law, they are in need. Something. It's because right there you cannot get from it. And again, get away with the trick and be kind of jealous. Say it again, slowly.
What if you're oppressing someone and you don't even realize that you're doing it?
Oh, what happens if you're oppressing somebody and you do not realize that you're oppressing? And you have this habit. The moment you said that, meaning you know. And once you know, you make a step up. Ask Allah to forgive you. And if you are honest, you go to the person and tell him, forgive me, I was oppressing you. Forgive me, and I seek, you know, forgiveness from you. And also, if you did something physically or emotionally or money, you have to return it back. If none of the above happened, and the person traveled, they said, make istighfar for them, make dua for them, ask Allah to give them goodness, even ask Allah to give them some of your good deed, just to get away from the judgment day. Any question, any concern? We're very close to Salatul Duha. Any question, any concern?
I discussed with the same question, but there's a in Islam that you should not tolerate the oppression also. Fight back.
Yes, you said something very beautiful here. He said, what about Islam teach us to fight the oppression? But you cannot fight your own mother. You cannot fight your own father. You are stuck. You see, today we are really in a big pyramid. Because you're doing it, and any time you even tell them the truth, they can curse you. But does it mean they curse you? You can generate a fire against you. No. Again, be kind, be good, make dua, and get away the maximum you can. Doesn't mean get away neglecting them. For example, today I ask people, please don't give details to your friend and relative. The detail in your life, leave it to yourself. Because we do mischief by our talking, and after that we complain about Allah. But who did it in the beginning? Me. I can talk to you, you talk to her talk to her, and before you know it, it's a mess. But who owned it in the beginning? I will teach you something, it will fix all your problems. Wallahi, it will fix all your problems. That's what I know. All your problems will be solved. Anybody tell you, how are you doing? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. How is your husband? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. How is your mother? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. How is your everything? Do you know, I'm 24 years now in America. Anybody from overseas call me, they stop calling me anymore. Because I only have one sentence all my life. I have an accident. I go to the hospital. I'm dying. Whatever? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. They only know from me only one sentence. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Because once you said Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, I promise you, 99% of the phone call will be decreased. You will save a lot of money in the phone call, you will have at least 70-80% of your time belong to you, you will have your heart belong to you, and you will be more happy. And a lot of your problem is solved, only by one sentence, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. What about my calamity? You have two situations. Any calamity, any situation with husband, wife, whatever, daughter, son, whatever, you have two only allowance. Only one love to hear you, argue, and blame you. Who's that? Who's that only one love to hear you, complain? Allah. You want to complain? You want to talk to somebody? Talk to Allah. He can hear you 24 hours free. You're not going to pay for it. And he loves it. And he will feed you. Or, if you are in a situation and you're not sure what to do, very simple. Call another person or a scholar you trust and say, this is my situation, what I do. Islamically according to Quran, what I do. But can I call every sister and know the whole community know? Who said so? No. This, no. and you're asking for trouble in this life and hereafter, with all respect to you, keep your mouth shut and say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, and that's it. SubhanAllah, Alhamdulillah, 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 Alhamdulillah.